Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. Yeah, this is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it. I'm sexy and I know it.
And now, a message from former President Trump.
Hello, thank you. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Well, folks, it happened. I got indicted, or as I spell it, indicated. And frankly, it's time that I come clean, admit that I broke the law, and go quietly to prison. April Fools! That was a prank. I was doing a Jim from Office.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live had one joke at the beginning and then no jokes until they got to Weekend Update. I mean, that's basically, unfortunately, the way of it. But, of course, April Fools on Saturday. And the April Fools prank for Weekend Update was fantastic. I'll get to that one in just a minute. Meanwhile, everybody was making jokes over the weekend. Lots and lots and lots of April Fool's Day. Facebook was all full of April Fool's pranks on Saturday. Pensacola Police Department, expect multiple temporary road closures as a lazy river is installed through downtown. Numerous overpasses will be constructed as well as swim-up beverage stations along Palafox. Oh, you had me there. Roads will be closed Monday through Sunday, 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. This is all the time. But open otherwise, the entire area will be considered a no-wake zone. We'll be patrolling on jet ski. Pensacola's finest. That's funny. Pensacola State College had a breaking news flying saucer spotted over Pensacola State College in what can only be described as an out-of-this-world experience. Eyewitnesses have reported seeing flying saucers hovering over the Pensacola State College campus. While some might be quick to dismiss the sightings as mere figments of their imagination, we have exclusive footage that will leave you questioning everything you thought you knew about life beyond Earth. And what was cool about this is it was sitting right on top of the clock tower, and it was like rotating. I mean, it was a pretty creatively done video. And, of course, the best part of it is that they actually managed to come up with some, you know, super creepy, seemed like it realistic music to go along with the video. Yeah. I mean, nobody believed it, but it was still kind of, you know, well done in spite of nobody believing it. I kind of always appreciate that. Let's see. Mayor Reeves might have had a good, he did have a really good one. As a Pensacola State native and now as mayor of this great city, this is one of the most important wins in our community's recent history. I was going to wait until this week's press release conference, but since the news broke on the Pensacola News Journal this morning, I wanted to share with you now. I'm excited to announce that Trader Joe's will be opening its first location in Pensacola, 1 mile south of City Hall. Where's City Hall located?
A mile north of the water.
It's right in the middle of Pensacola Bay. I
know
that
DC Reeves mom and have her smack him.
I don't think she would. I know that a Trader Joe's being here ranked just under the importance of public safety for many of you city residents. So that's exactly why we went to work immediately after taking office in November after several trips to California to meet with Trader Joe's leadership. We can now say we will have our first location. A project this magnitude isn't without a team effort. Have to give credit to our city's public works, engineering, and inspections departments to make a dream a reality. Agreement details. Two-buck chuck pricing will revert back to the original 2002 price of $1.99 for all city residents for the first year of operation, proof of residency required. A waiver of any fines for a maximum of 3 strikes on the graffiti bridge annually by Trader Joe delivery trucks. See, about halfway through a good April Fool's Day post, you're going to start to see like, no, wait now. 1 mile south of City Hall is in fact the heart of Pensacola Bay, but the city and the port of Pensacola will continue to work with Trader Joe's leadership on the acquisition of barges, tender boats, and floating shopping carts to tie together to make this project a reality. The American Magic Sailing Team has agreed to a no-wake zone during peak weekend shopping hours, 990 years of 100% tax abatement, and within 30 days of commencement of construction on any commercial project in city limits, Trader Joe's agrees to erect a sign explaining if it is, in fact, going to be a Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's also agrees to post said updates on the East Hill Neighborhood Association Facebook group. Burn. Cordova Park Neighborhood and North Hill Preservation District Facebook pages. Today will go down as a landmark in our city's maritime history. Thank you for believing in us. Happy April 1st. That's clever. I like that. So you had a whole bunch of them. I mean, you know, there was one from Dustin Williams Photography where they photoshopped the beach ball out of the Pensacola Beach parking lot and said that the beach ball had gone missing. I mean, nobody believed it, but that's clever. I like the Photoshop work. That was pretty good. Bailey's Produce put one up that they had painted the Jolly Green Giant purple. And Visit Pensacola had one for an emperor penguin spotted on Pensacola Beach confusing white sand beaches for snow. So a lot of good ones. I did do one. I always do one. I will always do one. Every single year. You can always count on an April Fool's Day joke post from News Radio and Andrew McKay. So always, I'll tell you what it was here in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and I read it in the newsroom and I was thinking, oh, okay. Because you sent it to news?
Yeah. Well, as an update, just to FYI, be aware.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so glad I'm not on Facebook so I could get fooled. You're a big jerk. 9 Mile Road and 9 Mile Road at the I-110 eastbound entrance. There was an accident earlier. It was a roadblock earlier, it looks like. Has been moved off to the side. Other than that, not showing any problems. Looks like 90 is clear all the way through into Alabama from Milton into Pace into Pensacola. Not showing any issues on Scenic into Cervantes. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I will say I always feel robbed when the show's not live on April 1st because it's one of my favorite things to do. And we can actually report it like it's a real thing and have fun with it all morning long and see who gets got. But I still did one because that's what you do. Somebody texted in, yours almost got me. Well done. I appreciate that. Yeah. So here's what I posted. I posted a picture of Graffiti Bridge with the headline, Breaking Graffiti Bridge to be Removed. FDEP cites paint contamination in nearby Bayou Tahar. In an unexpected development, the problem of preventing truck strikes to the 17th Avenue Graffiti Bridge train trestle is going to be solved for us by an outside party. Florida DEP, in a late press release sent out Friday evening, spokesman Ivan McGillicuddy says, work will begin immediately to dismantle and remove the bridge across 17th Avenue. This decision is the result of a 2-year investigation into the contamination caused by paint runoff polluting Bayou Tahar every time a new image is created on this bridge. According to FDEP, this is all part of former Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried's statewide Protect Our Waterways from Graffiti Runoff initiative, one of the only things she did in office that actually made a difference. Aw, that part makes me happy. Due to the... Democrats groan. Due to the overwhelming popularity of Graffiti Bridge with Pensacolians, this particular investigation was conducted in secret, without FDEP telling any local elected officials to avoid protests or riots if people were to realize the bridge's future might be in jeopardy. Asked whether the decision could be averted, perhaps by simply prohibiting people from putting up new paint on the bridge, McGillicuddy tells News Radio, we simply don't believe that will be possible for your city to accomplish. It's better to just remove the facility entirely. Although the loss of our beloved Graffiti Bridge and its artwork will be painful, there are some advantages expected from the removal. First, it obviously will solve once and for all the problem of trucks and RVs striking the structure and having their roofs sheared off. Instead of having to install complicated warning devices to warn truck drivers, as Mayor D.C. Reeves recently told News Radio the city was about to do, this simply eliminates the problem entirely. Police Chief Randall tells News Radio he'll be glad when the city can finally stop wasting police officer time and money dealing with the incidents. Second, now the bridge will be removed, the city can finally elevate the road surface itself and solve the repetitive flooding problems endemic to the site. And third, the removal of the bridge will also mean the end to trains running through downtown. When Rail USA acquired the Pensacola Area Railways from CSX in 2019, this was part of their long-term strategic plan to convert the land underneath their tracks into condo, retail, and low-income housing, especially along Scenic Highway. This is where you start to be, if you hadn't figured it out by now, right? This also means train service to the Port of Pensacola will cease and all transfer of supplies to and from the port previously accomplished by train will be handled by a new fleet of urban pedal trolleys and rickshaws. More details to follow. There you go. See, that's your giveaway at the end.
So proud of yourself.
Oh, I am. No, and I'm getting texted. You 100% got my wife. Thank you.
And is that Darren Boyd?
No, no. And I still, you know, got... You know, people who, like, they were all upset. And that's not the point. The point isn't to make people upset. The point is to be like, ah, you know. And then, so anyway, 437-1620. It's all over. April Fool's is over, and we didn't even get to do it on the air. But, you know, okay, fine. If you want to enjoy those, they're all over the internet from the weekend. They were quite fantastic. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you've got any kind of car repairs that you need to do, Bobby Likas Auto Service, obviously they can take good care of you. But, you know, one of the things that they really specialize in is imports, right? You've got the Lexus, you've got the Mercedes, you've got the Audi, the Genesis, the Jaguar. Those are cars that they really specialize in working on, and you don't have to take them to the dealership, you can get them done at, you know, right here. Like, you don't have to go if it's, you know, the dealership's in Mobile, which is common. You don't have to drive across the bridge. You don't have to waste the time, the money, that just the inconvenience of it. Right here on Davis Highway, Bobby Likes Auto Service, they can take care of you. They work on diesel engines. Same thing. No problem. Their philosophy is prevent the big stuff by seeing you routinely for the preventative stuff. 2021 Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. CarClinicService.com online or take it in today to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
You're listening to Strength for Life with Pastor James C. Johnson.
If you don't have a church home, I'm inviting you to join us at Northstone Baptist for our Easter Sunday services. Join us Sunday morning, April 9th at 10:30, as we will consider what the Bible proclaims about Jesus conquering death. Also, I invite you to join us for our evening service at 6 p.m., in which our church will provide an Easter cantata. Our choir will sing and performers will present the message of Easter. It'll be a great day for the whole family, full of honoring Christ. Jesus' resurrection is literally a life or death issue. Christ has conquered death through his resurrection, and he is worthy of our worship. Northstone Baptist Church is located on the northwest side of Pensacola. Our address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road. Again, join us Easter Sunday, April 9th for our 10:30 service and our 6 p.m. Easter cantata as we together worship our risen Savior. We hope to see you there.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join Pam and Keith, your insurance experts with Alpha Star Insurance Services, this morning at 9 on News Radio 92.3 and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to take financial control and which insurance products are best for you and your family as you head toward retirement. They'll be taking your calls and questions this morning at 9 with Alpha Star Insurance Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Her face was burned on my brain.
Anytime I need to see your face, it just closes my eyes, and I am taken to a battery of crystal mind and magenta feeling. Take a chapter in the face of my spine, straight like a chicken cherry cola. I don't need a...
They left to use Davis with that dribble drive. They took it away with a counter.
Oh, I'll show you his performance. Woo-hoo. That's the highlight of them all. Goodness gracious, what a stretch.
Florida Atlantic inbounds and dribbles underneath the basket for a reverse layup. Crazy aggressive, successful play to give them a three-point cushion with under a minute to go on Saturday against San Diego State University in the Final Four. And the Aztecs come back and score at the other end, so it's 71-70. And with basically time getting scarce, a little bit of a differential on the clock, FAU kind of runs it out, gets it down to 17 seconds. I think there's about 10 on the shot clock at that point. Took a timeout, and when they come back to inbound it, well, here's how it goes.
It's Greenlee,
up by one at the time.
It's to Martin,
laying it out.
Been the star tonight. Giving it back to Davis. With five to shoot. Taken on. A rope and it's blocked.
So FAU misses. Recovered by San Diego State. Driving down to the other end. Butler goes into the corner.
It's Butler with 2 seconds. He's got to put it up. And he wins it. He wins it with the
no way. Crazy end. They were behind, they were behind, they were behind, and it looked like he wasn't even going to get the shot off. And then all of a sudden, he does side moves, Jordan-esque jump shot in as time expires, and San Diego State advances to the finals. The Aztecs are going to play UConn, the Huskies. Well, I should say they're going to get slaughtered by the Huskies. UConn has won 5 straight games with double-digit victory margins, so they have been beating everybody and badly, and so we'll see the finals tonight. And both Florida teams are out of it. Miami got trounced, and FAU got beat just barely on that crazy last-minute shot. 7:24 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there was another train derailment over the weekend. This one was in Montana. Police say about 25 cars jumped the tracks near Paradise. Now, this is about 200 miles northwest of Bozeman there. Several cars apparently fell into a river, but they haven't said what was on the train, but they have said they don't believe it was any hazardous materials. Congressman Dan Crenshaw says armed guards are the answer to prevent school shootings. He was on CNN's State of the Union. The Republicans called the phenomenon of school shootings a social contagion and says they're hard to predict. And we're still waiting on an announcement from NASA today. They're supposed to release the names of the four astronauts that'll make up the first moon mission in more than 50 years. The crew for Artemis 2 will reportedly include three Americans and one Canadian.
All right.
Be exciting to see that.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. And, you know, here I am, and it's train derailment season, and I haven't even taken down my Chinese spy balloon decorations yet. I mean,
sure, they're still on my tree, too.
I see these posts on Facebook, and I can't disagree. It's like, you know, hey, we got this wave of world-shattering problems to replace the last wave of world-shattering. You know, it is easy to feel that way a little bit. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Not seeing a lot, really. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free. Taking a look at the west side. 98 clear through Gulf Breeze and the Chaffee James Bridge. This brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. More info on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. That's KNOX. Knox, knocks them out. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. 726 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? What was the story? Did you see what happened with Twitter over the weekend? Of course, there's always something with Twitter. The New York Times back up. They're charging for the blue check mark, right? The verified check mark. If you're an individual, it's going to be, what, $8 a month? And if you're an entity, like a corporation, it's going to be a little bit more, $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month. But, you know, for some of these companies, I guess Elon Musk, they figure, well, that's fair. You know, I mean,
it's
they're a big company,
marketing.
Right? What's the big deal, right?
Yeah.
And you certainly get a lot of promotional value out of it, obviously. And so now the, like, media companies, for instance, New York Times and Washington Post are like, nah, we'll pass. Also, the White House says that they're not going to reimburse staffers for it. The only way that the New York Times says that they'll pay anything to Twitter like this is they might be willing to give the $8 to their reporters who need it for credentialing purposes somehow or other. There might be some access issues with them not having blue check marks anymore. But, the blue check mark went away for at least the New York Times main feed. Like, a lot of their subsidiary feeds or other feeds did not. But, yeah, I mean, look, it is promotional value, right? You get value out of it. And the problem is that social media began as a completely free, and then they're trying to add cost onto it later, which is, you know, make the thing popular, make the thing cool, and then charge people for it, is a model that, you know, it's hard to do. It's hard to make that transition, but it is the way you make money, unless you're going to do it by advertising, which is how they have been. What I thought was kind of interesting is Elon Musk in the process. And, by the way, Washington Post, which is funny because Washington Post and the New York Times are infamous for having very aggressive paywalls. So on the one hand, the New York Times and the Washington Post are adamant to prevent you from seeing their product for free, but do not want to turn around and contribute any money to Twitter, which promotes their product for free at the moment, which is kind of but you know, look, newspapers are struggling. They're trying to make a living too and pay their reporters and keep their staff and all this. Anyway, the comment that was made by Elon Musk over the weekend specifically about the New York Times was a little less than charitable. He said, what was the exact quote here? I'm just pulling it up. New York Times is being incredibly hypocritical here as they are super aggressive about forcing everyone to pay their subscription. And what was it? The New York Times, he said something barely above... it's tragic how far the New York Times has fallen, basically just boring with expletive far left brainwashing at this point. The boring part is truly unforgivable. They're boring is the issue. Of course, they recently ran a story, maybe not that recently, but like in the summer, they ran a story about how Elon Musk he grew up in an elite sheltered community in South Africa, detached from apartheid's atrocities. And that's part of why he doesn't understand some of the things that are going on in the world. He sees his takeover of Twitter as a free speech win, but in his youth did not suffer the effects of misinformation. So, let's call it a back and forth at this point. 729 News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going? Oh, a couple of local announcements. I always like to talk about stuff that's going on here. Ronald McDonald House Charities of Northwest Florida. Casual for Kids is a day on Friday, April 28th. Your business, your group can show your support by purchasing and wearing Casual for Kids t-shirts. Team orders are due by Monday, April 10th, so that's a week from today. You can get more information about that at newsradio923.com. Also, Bands on the Beach comes back tomorrow at the Gulfside Pavilion, 7 o'clock. Kicking the season off is Reunion Band for one of their final performances, and you can get more information on that at newsradio923.com. Coming up in a moment, our monthly connection with Ryan Jenkins, our farmer from Jay, Florida. Got some interesting stuff we're going to talk about with him. He was at the big meeting of the peanut farmers that took place in Jay last week. We'll talk about that, plus a couple of other issues. David Wayne's in the newsroom. What do you have coming up, sir?
Well, there's some damage to the post office in Lillian. We'll tell you about it after this update from Fox.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Former President Trump may be in for more than he expects at tomorrow's arraignment.
A source saying, quote, the Trump legal team now thinks that the Manhattan judge will take the unprecedented step of silencing the presidential frontrunner with an unconstitutional gag order tomorrow. Breaking the order could trigger a fine of $1,000 and a prison sentence of as much as 30 days.
Fox's Brooke Singman. Oil prices may be about to spike.
Saudi Arabia and other oil producers are cutting more than a million barrels of oil a day starting next month. OPEC, led by the Saudis, and a group of other producers led by Russia, already agreed in October to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day.
Fox's Ginny Cassola, and NATO says Finland will officially join the military alliance on Tuesday. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 74 degrees. It is mostly cloudy in Pensacola right now. 72 degrees. We do have a tornado watch that's going to be in effect until 11 o'clock this morning. An arcade and bar in West Pensacola that's been at odds with the county now for several months over an alcohol permit has finally gotten approval to start serving drinks. The Grid Arcade finally approved for their alcohol license. They were involved in a dispute with the county over just a few dozen feet. The county says they were less than 1,000 feet from a daycare facility. The last measurement did come out to about 950 feet.
Well, here we are trying to pursue business just like I am. They're having hard times, and they dropped the dreams because they were told no.
Daniel Demeter, the business owner there for the Grid Arcade, and he ended up installing an extra 30 feet of sidewalk in front of his building to get the approval. If you drive past the post office in Lillian, Alabama this week, you might notice a little bit of damage to their building. Apparently, a car crashed into it on Saturday. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office and Lillian Fire Department responded to that crash. The good news, nobody was hurt, but right now there's no word on how extensive the damage to that building is. Teenager in Walton County accused of intentionally driving into traffic and causing a chain reaction crash last Friday. Florida Highway Patrol says that happened on I-10. A 15-year-old from Ponce de Leon was being chased by troopers when she allegedly drove through the median into oncoming traffic. Now, that teen's car then hit a pickup truck that was pulling a trailer and two other vehicles crashed as well. FHP says the teenager was the only person that was hurt in that crash. Some canine handlers from Escambia County's Department of Corrections participated in the United States Police Canine Association Region 1 tracking competition recently. Four handlers qualified in both basic and exceptional tracking tests. Those four handlers were Lieutenant Chan Sims, Sergeant Robert Oliver, Officer Dusty Burkett, and Officer Matt Marmont. The USPCA, one of the premier police canine certification organizations in the nation. New York Governor Kathy Hochul offering to send in the National Guard and says state police are ready for former President Trump's arraignment in Manhattan tomorrow. George Solis is in New York.
Along busy Fifth Avenue, barricades have been set up as far as the eye can see. There's also growing press here from around the globe. They are mixed in with tourists, that are flocking to the region. The police presence here also only expected to grow in the coming hours.
And so far, they say demonstrations near Trump Tower and Manhattan Criminal Court have been small, but they're not ruling out those crowds getting bigger, as President Trump expected to travel into New York today. NASA says the four astronauts that'll make up the first moon mission in more than 50 years is going to be announced today. The crew for Artemis II reportedly will include three Americans and one Canadian. That 10-day mission not expected to happen until November of 2024. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. And not showing any slowdowns or delays. We were talking about Bailey's earlier because of their April Fool's Day prank. They said their giant was purple. It's not. It was April Fool's. And taking a look on Davis, not showing any slowdowns there. Cervantes clear through the curve on Scenic. Summit also not showing any accidents today. Text 437-1620 if you have a traffic tip. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a nice day throughout the morning with temperatures warming up near 81 degrees in the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms possible through the later half of the day. 50% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm with a low near 72. We're going to stay warm as you go into Tuesday with a high near 80 degrees. Small chance of a stray shower. 10% chance of rain overall. By Tuesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 74, mostly cloudy in Pensacola. 72 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Four states have joined the Justice Department lawsuit aimed at preventing JetBlue from buying rival discount carrier Spirit Airlines for $3.8 billion. California, Maryland, New Jersey, and North Carolina have signed on to the lawsuit, which was filed in early March. They joined Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut, and the District of Columbia in the litigation. The DOJ argues the merger would lead to higher fares, fewer seats, and would harm consumers. The merged airlines would have an estimated 9% of market share. AI research lab OpenAI is expected to roll out GPT-5 technology later this year, which could make generative AI indistinguishable from a human. Tech experts say OpenAI is expected to soon achieve AGI, which stands for Artificial General Intelligence. AGI is defined when AI systems are able to comprehend a task or concept the same as humans. On Wall Street, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing, coming up this month, the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Cooking Class, Easter, and other fun things and promotions that you won't want to miss. That's all this Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Well, life on the farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, it is our monthly catch-up with Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I was thinking about you on Saturday as we're biking around, and I'm seeing all the dirt get tilled up and the fields getting prepared for the planting season, and I saw, I could identify it. It was a spreader. I knew what I was looking at.
You're making progress.
I'm coming along. Hey, I did see something. I'm just kind of curious about this, and maybe it doesn't have an answer. I don't know, but I noticed it on Saturday when we were biking. We're in Chemuckla right now, and there were three different fields, and very noticeably, not exactly in the middle of the field, but somewhere in the, like, it's trees all around, and the field is completely clear, and there will be a tree or a copse of trees or something, and they don't necessarily look like they're, you know, heritage trees or anything like that, but there's just something right in the middle of the field, and I'm thinking, well, that is right in the way. Why would they have left that in the planting field? Can you explain something like that?
There are all kind of reasons. It could be something of sentimental value to them. It could have been where old home place was in the middle of the field. You know, somebody's house used to be there years ago.
Huh.
But probably, you know, without seeing exactly what you were seeing, more times than not, those are like wet weather ponds, areas like that where you can't get in there and farm anyway or can't get in there to clear it out because it's wet a lot of the time. So that's more than likely that's what you were seeing.
Okay, I think it was smaller than that. I'm imagining those would be a little bit larger, like a wetlands kind of area. So I don't know, it just caught me by surprise and I didn't have an answer. And I thought, you know, well, if anybody would know, you would be the guy to know. I think it was last Wednesday in Jay, there was a meeting of the Florida cotton growers. You know, of course, you're in that category. Anything happened at that meeting that we ought to know about?
Yeah, that's State Growers Association that we're trying to get started. You know, we have them for peanuts and for other commodities, but and all of our neighboring states have a cotton growers association, but Florida does not. And believe it or not, we do grow a significant amount of cotton in the northern part of the state. So
I do believe it.
Farmers are trying to get that started, basically, so it gives us representation more so on the national level when we're dealing with different issues. So it gets us a seat at the table on some of the national grower organizations.
Okay, so this is something that you and some of the other cotton growers are kind of trying to develop in order to have a little bit more lobbying capability in Washington, D.C. Okay, that makes sense to
Correct.
Me.
Correct, yes. You said that so well.
Hey, just because this is how my brain works, since we're talking about cotton, I know when I came out to watch you harvest cotton and driving the harvester with you for a minute, one of the things that was surprising to me is the cotton stalks, like after you have taken the cotton off and you get about 90% of it off with the picker, the stalks that are left are very robust. I mean, they're like tree saplings. You couldn't just go easily remove them yourself. And you go through there with machinery and plow them under and churn them up and whatever. But what did they do before they had the machinery? Because that is a really labor-intensive thing. Did they just do that by hand?
A lot of times, years ago, they'd turn cows in on them, and cows would graze and stomp them, trample them down throughout the winter.
Oh, okay.
But more times than not, they would let the cold make them brittle, you know, let them rot as much as they could during the winter, and in the spring, the stalks would be real brittle, and they could easier work them up. Then they could till the land and start destroying those stalks. But, you know, we've talked about the boll weevil before, and, you know, that almost shut down the cotton industry in our area in the South years ago. So they've done away with the boll weevil now, but one of the things that we have to do is destroy those stalks in a timely manner, because if there were boll weevils around, it gives them a place to harbor over winter. So, we're mandated that we have to destroy our stalks as soon as possible, so that the boll weevil, if there were to be a rare one around somewhere, you know, couldn't produce and stay living throughout the winter months.
Okay, so in the past, when we didn't have the machinery, they could afford to let it kind of get brittle and die off in the winter, and then take care of it when, you know, it was more appropriate. But because that's where the boll weevil lives, which threaten the crops, now you have to take them out before, but you have the machinery to do that as well. See, this is why I love talking to you, because I learned stuff that I would have never thought of before. By the way, you and I have talked about we had that heat wave, kind of late heat, and then I was asking whether that would affect things, but then we also had the cold snap too, right?
That's right. Remember I told you the early hot snap that we had, hot spell that we were having, that couple of weeks of almost 90-degree weather that we had. I said it's going to trick people into planting their gardens and things like that, thinking that the winter is over. And then almost immediately after we had that conversation, you know, it got it was 28 degrees here at the barn for a couple of nights. So that ruined some people's gardens that got out there and were Johnny on the spot, decided to plant their garden a little bit early. That ruined those, and as well as we had some corn that got damaged to a certain degree that was already up. So and you never know, but I think we're getting safer and safer now. You know, it's about to where we can really get going here in the next couple of weeks and not really worry about the cold weather anymore.
Now, southern half of the counties, which is, of course, a lot of the population, I hadn't seen a lot of bad storms in the last week or two, but there have been some pretty bad storms through Alabama and stretched some of it into, you know, the northern portion of the panhandle. Did any of that affect you guys?
No, we've been very fortunate so far. I looked on the radar right before we went on air this morning, and there's a lot of bad weather just north of us now, but I believe it's going to stay to the north of us. So maybe we'll dodge another bullet, but I do feel for our friends, you know, throughout the south where the tornadoes have been and such that had their operations damaged or are just totally done away with in some places that I've seen. So, you know, that's really there's never a good time to get hit by a tornado, but, you know, right here at planting time and for all your machinery and stuff to get destroyed in your barns and things like that, you know, those guys are in a bad way. So I really feel for them, and we've been fortunate to dodge those bullets so far.
We're talking to Ryan Jenkins. He is the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. We check in with him once a month. Ryan, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
29 southbound, a little slow. This is north of I-10. But Milton looking good. Bell Lane, Sterling Way, Cyanamid, and Mulan Road not showing any problems. Caroline Street also clear. It's traffic on the fives brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. If you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, you and I we talked, I think it was maybe last time, about how the, you know, the early heat, one of the problems that would create is that because we didn't have a very harsh winter, at least not most later on, is pests, that they would have more ability to multiply and that could create a problem for you. Did the cold snap kind of counteract that some, or did it come too late, too little?
No, that wasn't cold enough and long enough. We need more cold weather and colder weather.
Okay.
To help with those issues. And no, that really wasn't anything that was helpful.
What are you doing these days? And it's, you know, it's April, just barely. You getting out and you starting to prepare the soil? What's going on right now?
We are. We're almost finished planting our corn. That's the first crop that we plant every year in about probably, you know, around the 15th or 20th of this month. We'll start really watching the weather and looking at the soil temperatures and stuff and making sure we're good to go. And if everything's, if we check those boxes, then we should start planting our peanuts here in just, another 2 or 3 weeks. And then immediately, not necessarily following that, but basically after we get good and started with peanuts, we'll go ahead and start planting our cotton. So I hope by the time you talk to me next month that we have a significant amount of our peanuts and cotton planted and that our corn's up and growing and everything's off to the races. So now we're just getting everything prepared for that. We finished spreading our lime that we've talked about the last couple of times. We're done with that project. Now we're spreading our phosphorus and potassium on the fields, as it's called for, and terminating our cover crops, and we'll begin strip tilling this week. You know, just tilling the actual row, the space that we actually need tilled for the plants to grow. We'll begin that process this week, and you know, we're getting to our busy time now. It's fixing to be come early, stay late from now till about the middle of June or so, probably.
And yeah, no, and it's kind of interesting. I know in the past you have always told me that, like, you love that smell of the dirt. And when I've seen you pull up peanuts, you love that smell of hearing. And it's funny because when we were biking over the weekend, and I'm biking, I sent you a picture of it. They were starting to, you know, some of the dirt had been tilled up in some of the fields, and I'm like, smells like money. Even though it doesn't to me, but I'm starting to feel about the land the way you feel about it because I see it through your eyes a little bit. You always got a kind of a farm fact for us or something, Ryan?
We do. So last month was National Peanut Month, where we bring awareness to the peanut industry. So I've got one little fact here. The United States of America has about 7,000 peanut farmers, and we grow about 3% of the peanuts in the world, but we produce about 10% of the peanuts in the world due to our high yields.
What?
That's right.
I don't understand. Like you mean of the peanut plants, basically? You're 3%, but you're 10% of the...
We grow about 3% of the acres. We plant about 3% of the acres.
Got it. Okay, all right.
Peanuts, but we produce about 10% of the actual peanuts due to our high yields.
I'm still stuck on the 7,000 only. Like, only 7,000 farmers in the U.S. are the peanut source. Like, that's not many people. Wow, that's a lot.
Right, as opposed to, like, corn growers. I looked it up and now forgot. I didn't write down the statistic, but I want to say it was around 350,000 corn growers in the country. And there's 7,000. I mean, it's a small, the peanut industry is a relatively small and tight industry.
Yeah. Wow. I just never thought it was that, you know, sort of isolated, basically. All right. Well, Ryan Jenkins, he is our farmer in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms. And Ryan, as always, thank you for the time, the information. Thanks for keeping farming alive. Thanks for putting food on my kids' plates and putting clothes on their backs, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. It means a lot to us. I hope y'all have a great week.
You bet. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Get better health with scientifically proven technology that's not going to the gym, diet supplements, pharmaceuticals, or medical treatment. Hear how OsteoStrong helps many improve bone density, posture, balance, athletic performance, and less joint and back pain. Find out more this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Join Jeremy and the staff from the Florida Panhandle's premier marine service center, BGS Marine Sales, Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the upcoming open house next Saturday, April 15th, noon till 5 p.m. at their brand new place, which is now located at 3910 Navy Boulevard. Text your questions or call 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The stunned silence is very reassuring.
Was recently long enough that I could have cut it in such a way that I would have been allowed to publicly proclaim myself as a fan of Erasure.
Right.
You know, because there are certain requirements, right?
I haven't heard this since, like, what, 94? When was this new? Golly.
7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I was having a conversation with somebody about the medical examiner's office, you know, the domes that we keep talking about, mm-hmm. and how Stephen Berry, who's the district commissioner for District 5, was talking about how he was working on preserving the Sacred Heart facility and, you know, solving some of the issues there. He thinks Mike Kohler, who's a subject matter expert, because that's his industry, is, you know, medical stuff and nursing and all that. And he said, no, we need to have one facility. And, you know, even though I hate to see it not being Escambia County, having two does not really make sense. And I thought it was interesting because if you watch that meeting and the reluctance that, for example, Stephen Berry has about spending money on the medical examiner's facility, and then you watch the other meeting where you hear them talking about the priorities for the rebuild Florida after Sally, where they were asking for, you know, like he was just all racked with agony that he can't get his Ashton Brosnahan soccer complex stuff built because, you know, it just it's not going to quite fit the parameters of the priority projects that will satisfy for that amount of funding. And, you know, somebody pointed out, so let me see if I got this straight. Can't, you know, wants to build a soccer facility or the, you know, the Ashton Brosnahan facility up there for tens of millions of dollars, unwilling to spend money of a comparable amount on a medical examiner's facility. That doesn't seem like our priorities are in the right place. And this is easy to explain. And I agree with the assessment, okay? Improper priorities. It's easy to explain. How many parents and kids will cheer you like a hero when you open a new, you know, athletic facility in the North End? Hundreds. They will all come out and they'll sing your praises and they'll love on you. How many people will cheer you when you spend $15 million, let's say, on a medical examiner's facility in Santa Rosa County?
Morgue's not sexy. I know.
But that's what
it's
you
so
have to.
Needed,
but somebody's
got
to be the adult. You know, somebody has to do the things that may not make you feelies, you know, for politics, may not help you get votes, but need to be done. Be the adults, you know. 755 News Radio 92.3. I'll get to Dave in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And southbound, 29th southbound, a little slow again. This is north of I-10. Shamukla Highway, Woodbine Road, and Berry Hill. All clear. No slowdowns in Guernsey either. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, send them in. It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. Text 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, both of Florida's teams are out of the NCAA tournament. The Connecticut Huskies will be playing San Diego State today to crown a national champion. Pope Francis out of the hospital. He was treated for bronchitis. He's now back to his duties at the Vatican. He observed Palm Sunday with a service in St. Peter's Square after being discharged. And an adventure movie based on a role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons, was this week's top movie in North America. Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves earned $38.5 million in its first weekend in theaters, knocked John Wick out of that top spot that it had held for a while.
Well, you know, what they say is, you know, swords and spells beat gunkata. I mean, you know, right?
That's definitely
that's what they say.
Yeah, for sure.
that's an old saying from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Right, yeah.
Anybody? Deep D&D nerds out there with me? Nobody? No? Okay.
Dungeon Masters don't have levels.
That's right.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Lake Geneva was the home of Gary Guy. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to super over-nerd myself right now. It's fine. I'll take it. I just got to know one thing, David.
Did you have friends growing up like I didn't?
Have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons?
No. Somebody tried to talk me into it once, and I said no, emphatically.
All right.
Of course I have.
I know you have. I mean, you know, you're my people. David?
Have y'all ever played Magic?
Oh, no. I've never done that.
Oh,
no.
Right.
Never gotten to the cards like that, the card games.
Okay, whatever.
David, what you're going to say? You look like you want to say something.
No. I mean, I don't have anything against D&D. It looks fun. A lot of people have a lot of fun with it. I don't know. I'm not that dedicated. Don't those games go on forever? You can sit and play one game for...
Yeah, but the time passes so quickly when you're having fun and when you're yelling at people and when you're trying to cheat on the dice. Not that anybody would do that. 757 here on News Radio 923.
He had friends growing up, and you can't fault him for that.
No, that's true. That's true. I can't really make fun of him for that. Let's see. 437-1620. What else do we... Oh! God, I saw this, and it... Okay, this is one of those where you need to take a deep breath before we get into this. This is at University of Pittsburgh. I don't really understand the format, but you basically have a girl who's a female athlete kind of in the front of the class, and this is some kind of like an anthropology professor or something. Maybe it's social anthropology. I don't know. Anyway, and they're having a conversation about male and female stuff, and she asks him the question about bones. You know, in 100 years, if you dig up a set of bones, can you not tell that it's a female versus a male? And kind of here's how, it's a little hard to hear, but here's how it went.
You being an anthropologist, which anthropology is the study of human civilization,
biological.
So if you were to dig up a human, two humans, in 100 years from now, both man and woman, could you tell the difference? strictly off of bones.
So he says, no, you wouldn't be able to tell the male from the female based on the bones of the skeleton, which everybody in the class laughs at him and says, duh, that's like very, very basic.
That's anatomy 101.
Yeah. And he's like, and then he goes on, and he's like, I don't know why you all are laughing at me. I'm the subject matter expert. I've got all the evidence. How dare you say that I'm the funny one? Sir, you're denying the difference between male and female bone structure? And you're the professor? Maybe not for long.
Local talk during the day with Jenna Barr.